One more prayer. Father, we just open our hearts to your word tonight, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak through me, and I pray for every person here that you give to each one of us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Father, I'm here myself to learn, and I thank you, Lord. I'm here myself to receive your word, and I thank you that it'll happen even as I'm teaching it. And Father, I thank you for every person here also, that everyone here will receive and hear your word tonight. And Lord, we purpose it will not just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, Hebrews chapter 11 is where we're going to start tonight. We're in a series called Faith to, was it kill giants and move mountains, or move mountains and kill giants?
Yes.
Or kill mountains and move giants? That's both, isn't it? I'm not sure what the order is, but anyway, I think it's faith to move mountains and kill giants, I think is what it is, yeah. Anyway, huh? Is that what the bulletin says? Well, that's what we'll go with then. All right. Anyway, one of the things that faith does, the Bible says, and we're going to read it here, faith obtains promises. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. So look with me at Hebrews 11 and verse 30. It says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. Well, faith brings walls down too, doesn't it? By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. So faith brings divine protection to us as well. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms. Well, we know faith can subdue kingdoms. Worked righteousness. Well, faith works righteousness. And here it is, obtained promises. Obtained promises. How did they obtain promises? Through faith, it says. Through faith. The verse, earlier part of the verse there. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Faith can stop lions' mouths. Well, we know Daniel operated by faith and the mouths of lions were stopped. Verse 34, quenched the violence of fire. Faith can do that too. Escape the edge of the sword. Faith can cause that to happen in your life too. I love this one. Out of weakness we're made strong. Hallelujah. Faith causes us to be out of weakness to be made strong. Amen. Became valiant in battle. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. But the one I want to focus on tonight is, it says, who through faith obtained promises. And that's what faith does. Faith obtains promises. Faith obtains the promises of God. When it talks about promises, it's talking specifically about God's promises. Amen?
Amen?
You know, it's one thing to have a promise. It's one thing to know that God has promised you something. But it's another thing entirely to obtain that promise.
Yes.
It's one thing to read it in the Bible and say, oh, isn't that wonderful what God promised? It's another thing entirely for that to be manifested in your life.
Amen.
For you to be a partaker of that, for you to obtain that promise. Amen? Well, God wants us to obtain every promise that He made. They're not there just to hold the rest of the Bible together.
Amen.
Come on. They're not there just to look pretty. They're not there just so we can write songs about them and sing them. They're there so we can obtain them. Every promise God made, He wants us to obtain that promise in our life.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Amen. Praise God. There are promises in the Scripture concerning our health and healing, aren't they?
Yes.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. That's a promise.
Yes.
Does God want us to obtain that?
Yes.
Does God want us to obtain the healing of all our diseases? I believe He does.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. There are promises concerning our family, concerning our children. Amen. The Bible says, in Isaiah, I will contend with him who contends with you, and I'll save your children. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved and your household.
Amen.
Amen. My spirit which is upon you, Isaiah 59, my spirit which is upon you shall not depart from your mouth. And my spirit which is upon you and my words that I put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants. That's a promise.
Amen.
Amen. About your family and your children. We want to obtain those promises, don't we?
Amen.
Amen. See, there are promises that cover every area of our lives. Every area. But we have to obtain them in order to benefit from them, don't we?
Yep.
Amen. So that's where faith comes in. It's through faith that we obtain all these wonderful promises. And we see specifically, the Bible gives us a specific example of a man who obtained. Now he says in Hebrews here, he lists several different people. And he talks about David, and he talks about Jephthah and others, and Barak and different ones. And when he was mentioning it there in Hebrews 11. But in Hebrews 6 and in the book of Romans and the book of Galatians and other places, we learn about a man named Abraham. A man named Abram, whose name was changed to Abraham, and how he obtained the promise of God in his life. So we're going to look at him tonight. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11, it says, "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Amen. Who's he talking to? He's talking to all of us, isn't he? He's talking to every believer, every Christian, and he says, "We desire that each one of you show the same diligence, and that you don't become sluggish, but you, every believer, so it's available to every one of us, that each one of you, what does he want us to do? Imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Amen? Where are we at there? Okay, there we go. Yeah. That we imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Well, we find a man named Abraham that we're going to study tonight, and the Bible says we're to imitate him.
Yes.
Amen? Amen. So when we read his story, when we look at his story, in which we're going to, we can see principles there that we can imitate.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible tells us we're supposed to do that. Yes. Amen?
Amen?
All right. In this verse right here, it says, "Imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Did Abraham inherit the promise?
Yes.
He did, didn't he?
Yes.
Well, then we should imitate him, right? Yes. So we're going to look at him so that we can. If the only way to imitate someone is to look at them and study them, right?
Yep.
If you've never seen them, if you've never encountered them, then there's no way you can imitate them,
amen,
right?
Amen.
You have to study them, all right? Does anybody know who Frank Caliendo is? He's an impressionist or an impersonator, and he does all these voices, and he's so good. He's so funny at it, and he's so good. He used to do President, I guess he still does, President Bush, but I say used to, it's when Bush was president. He did a really good impersonation of President Bush, and he does a lot of sports figures. He has to study those people in order to do that.
Yes.
He has to study their voice, their inflection, their mannerisms, you know, their tone. So we're going to look at Abraham that way. Verse 13 of Hebrews 6:13. "For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, 'Surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you.'" What was that? That was a promise.
Amen.
That was a promise. "And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise." So we see another ingredient in here besides faith, don't we? Already popping up that we need to look at. And of course, that's patience. After he patiently endured, he obtained the promise. And he tells us again in verse 12, he says, "Imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." And so we see this other ingredient that's interwoven with faith, and that's patience. And the two work together. And faith really won't work without patience. I want to give you, we're going to come back to Abraham in a minute, but I want us to go back and look at a verse in the midst of this parable that you're familiar with, the parable of the sower, where Jesus said a sower went out to sow his seed, and some seed fell by the wayside. Birds came and ate that up before it even got in the ground. And then the second one, it said the seed fell on the stony ground, and the plants sprang up. But then the sun came up, the heat came, and because it didn't have any depth of earth, because it was on rocky soil, it withered away. All right. Then we got the third type of ground that was sown among the weeds and the thorns that represented the cares of this world coming. And then the fourth one was the good ground that produced some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. All right. So here we're just going to look at one verse here tonight, though. This is Luke 8, verse 13. This is out of the God's Word translation. Says, "Some people are like seeds on rocky soil. They welcome the word with joy whenever they hear it, but they don't develop any roots. They believe," notice this, They believe for a while. Notice that statement. They believe for a while, but when their faith is tested, they abandon it. They believe for a while. Well, let me ask you a question. Do they obtain the promise? A person that believes for a while doesn't obtain the promise. He tells us that we need to realize the full assurance of hope to the end, he says. And then through faith and patience we inherit. So these folks believed only for a while. And then when their faith was tested, they abandoned it. Well, we don't want to be like that. Amen? Amen. And that's not the example that we see in Abraham, thank God. So let's go back to talking about Abraham again. And so let's go to Romans chapter 4 this time. And in Romans 4, I'm going to read, I think I may read through all of this. And then we'll go back and look at some specific verses in here. But Romans 4, verse 13, for the promise that he would be the heir of the world. That's a pretty big promise, isn't it? That's what it says, the promise that was given to Abraham. It says the promise that he would be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of no effect. Notice that. Faith is made void and the promise made of no effect. What he's saying here, if you look into that, you find out that faith is that the promise is activated by faith. Amen. He said, if it comes through the law, then faith is made void and the promise is of no effect. Well, it's not through the law, so faith is not made void, and therefore the promise is in effect. So what causes the promise to come into effect? Faith does. Amen? Verse 15, because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is a faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And now who's Paul writing to here? He's writing to the Romans, isn't he? This is the book of Romans, so he's writing to the Romans. These are not Jews. These are Gentile believers. Amen. And he says, guys, Abraham is the father of us all. Yeah. Father Abraham had many sons. I'm one of them, and so are you, right? Well, that's true. That's that crazy little song is true. You know, right arm, left arm, turn around, sit down. I don't know about all that. But I am one of them and so are you is accurate. It's scriptural. See, Abraham is the father of the Jewish people by natural generation, but he's the father of us all because of his example of faith. Amen? All right. So, It says here in verse again in 16, he said, it's a faith that it might be according to grace, so the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. I want to read that. I want to look at that in the New Living Translation. Let's look at it in the New Living. So the promise is received by faith. It is given as a free gift. And we are all certain to receive it, whether or not we live according to the law of Moses. Now again, he's not talking about, don't misunderstand what he's saying here. He's not saying, if you keep the law, then it's fine. And if you don't, that's fine. You know, doesn't matter. No, he's talking about people that are Jewish, that have become believers, that are still observant of the law. And he's talking about Gentiles that are not under the law. Amen? All right? He says, whether or not we live according to the law of Moses, if we have faith like Abraham's, for Abraham is the father of all who believe. Amen. So he's our example in this. That's what he's talking about, and that's what he's saying. All right? So let's look at Abraham, and there's six things here I want to look at in this. Number one, in order to live by faith, we must take God at His word. In order to live by faith, that's the number one. That is the number one foundation of faith. You have to take God at His word. You have to make the word of God the final authority in your life. God said it, That's it. That settles it. There's no yeah buts. Yeah. Amen. God said it. That's it. Amen. That's the highest authority. Y'all know the Bible says that, but. No, that doesn't work. Amen. Not if you're going to live by faith. Amen. Abraham got rid of the yeah buts. Abraham said, when God made the promise to him, Abraham came to a point where he said, all right, I believe that. And that's the final authority. Doesn't matter what anything else looks like. Doesn't matter what anybody else says. God, you said it, and that's what I believe, and that's what's going to happen. Amen?
Amen?
Praise God. That became true for Abraham. The Word of God became the final authority in his life. And so for us to walk by faith and to follow the example of Abraham, then the Word of God has to become the final authority in our life. Amen?
Amen.
God said, if God says with his stripes I'm healed, that's it. Yes. Amen? I'm not going to try to explain it away this way or explain it away that way. It's not God that needs to change. If I didn't receive my healing, it's not God that needs to change. It's not the Bible that's wrong. It's not, well, we got to explain it away somehow. No, somewhere I need to make an adjustment.
Amen.
Amen. Somewhere I need to work on things. It's not God. You know, God didn't, you know, God's not wrong in this. Amen. God's Word is true, and God's Word is the final authority. Amen.
Amen.
All right. And so that's number one. In order to live by faith, we must take God at His Word, and the Word of God must be our final authority. Amen. So Abraham, it talks about him. And actually, I'm going to skip down to verse 20, if you can go there, Mike. And then we're going to kind of work our way back up. We'll look at 20 and 21. Look at what it says about Abraham. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he, God, had promised, he, that's God, was also able to perform. Amen. It says he didn't waver at the promise of God through unbelief. In other words, the Word of God became his final authority. The promise of God became final authority in his life, and he didn't waver on that. He didn't go back and forth and say, oh, well, maybe it'll happen, but then it might not happen. Yeah, maybe it's true, might not be true. He became convinced, yes, God promised it. God promised this to me, and God is going to do this in my life. I believe it. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. That's the way we have to be. So our faith, so then the second thing we see in here, in these verses as well, and is this, and this is point number two, our faith must be based on God's ability, not on our inability. Our faith must be based on God's ability, not on our inability. Look at this. It says he was strengthened in faith in verse 20, giving glory to God. In verse 21 again, back to 21, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Amen. He was convinced that, okay, if God promised it, God's able to do it. Amen. His faith was not in his inability. His faith was in God's ability. Amen.
Amen.
He said God promised it, so God's able to perform it. Amen.
Amen.
If God's big enough to promise it, he's big enough to bring it to pass.
Amen.
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 So if you find a promise in God's Word, if God's big enough to promise it, then God's big enough to bring it to pass.
Amen?
Amen?
Yes.
If He promised it, then He can do it.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
Praise God. All right. Let's go back up then and look at verse 19 now. Verse 19 says, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. All right. So again, he's not basing his faith on his own inability, but he's basing his faith on God's ability.
Amen.
You know, he was already almost 100 years old. Sarah's womb had been barren forever. You know, she had never been able to bear children. And yet, when God gave that promise, Abraham said, you know, I believe what God said. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter that Sarah's been barren. It doesn't matter that I'm 100 years old. I'm past the time and the age of being able to produce children. God said it. God's going to do it.
Amen.
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 His faith was totally in God's ability, and his faith was not in his own inability. Amen.
Amen.
And look at what, again, look at what it says here. Not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. Well, if we take, I heard my pastor years ago said, if you want to know what weak faith is, then take the noughts out of this verse. So let's read it. Let's take the noughts out, the word not, okay? And let's read it that way. And being weak in faith, he did consider his own body. Do you see that? And being weak in faith, he did consider his own body. Do you know what will cause your faith to be weak? When you consider the circumstances. When you focus on the circumstances. In Abraham's case, the circumstances, the contrary circumstances were his own body. He's 100 years old. He can't produce children. Sarah has never been able to bear children. Her womb is barren. So that was the circumstances. But he did not consider those. If he had, he would have been weak in faith. But the Bible says that he was strong in faith, giving glory to God because he was persuaded, fully convinced that what God had promised, God was able to perform. He was looking at God's ability, not his own inability. Amen?
Amen.
So that brings us to point number three then. We must consider God's word over the circumstances. We must consider God's word over the circumstances. Let me fill you in on something here. When you endeavor to believe God for something, you will be met with contrary circumstances. I promise you. Amen. You will be met with circumstances that tell you there's no way it can happen. There's no way it can come to pass. I ran across something last night. I follow sports somewhat. And last night, Duke was playing Louisville in college basketball. Duke's, you know, ranked second in the country. And I checked the score at one point, and Louisville was up by 13 points at halftime. And then I went to bed. I didn't watch the game or anything, but I saw the score. I thought, wow, you know, Louisville may win this game. And so I forgot about it. And later in the day, today, I thought, I wonder who won that ball game. I bet Louisville won. They were up by 13, you know, halftime. And so I looked on my phone, and I found out that Duke won by 2 points. And I also found out that they were behind at one point in the second half by 23 points. And I also read this in the article. It said Coach Krzyzewski, Mike Krzyzewski, who's one of the, don't ask me to spell that. It starts with a K, though, Coach K. But if you pronounce it Krzyzewski, all right. He's the number one active, maybe the best coach of all time in college basketball. But he said he looked when they were down by 23 points. He called them into the huddle and he looked his players in the eye and he said, "You're going to win this game. You're going to win this game." And he said, "I don't know if I." He said he's looking back. He said, "I don't know if I really believe that," or he said, "I might have just been lying to them." He said, "But it worked. It worked." And they did. Well, they did. They believed. Coach told them they were going to win. Coach told them they could still win even though they were down by 23 points. They went out and they believed that and they won. And the team they were playing is no pushover. The team they were playing is a really good team. But they went out and they overcame a 23-point deficit. Now, circumstances said, "You're going to lose this game, boys." But the coach said, "You're going to win the game." They believed what the coach said above the circumstances. Yeah, he spoke it. He said it. Amen. Yeah. So we must consider God's word. And God's word's even higher than Coach K's word.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, some people put Coach K up there right underneath, but amen. No, God's word, we have to consider God's word over the circumstances. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God and believe God's word even though the circumstances are contrary. The circumstances may be telling you you're never going to get healed. The circumstances may be telling you you're never going to get out of the financial mess that you're in. Circumstances may be telling you, you know, that this is not going to work out in your behalf. Continue to believe the promise. Do you have a promise?
Yes.
Well, if you don't, there you got to find a promise.
Amen.
Because faith obtains promises. You got to find a promise to obtain. Yeah. If you're just wandering around and saying, "Well, I hope God does something for me," then you got to find a promise. You got to find a promise. Dad Hagen, Kenneth E. Hagen, wrote a book years ago, one of the first ones I read by him, What to do when faith seems weak and victory lost. And point number one is find promises that cover the thing that you're desiring God to do for you. Find a promise. Amen? Because faith obtains promises. Faith's not just some nebulous thing. Faith obtains promises. Faith latches on to the promises of God. In fact, F.F. Bosworth, the author of the great book, Christ the Healer, had a tremendous healing ministry. He said this. He said, faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith begins where the will of God is known. We can't believe God beyond a promise of God. Amen? So find a promise, latch onto that promise, and believe that promise over and above any contrary circumstance. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Praise God. So that's number three. Number four, let's look at Romans 4, verse 18, and we see a progression here. It's important for us to understand. Romans 4, 18, who, contrary to hope, in hope believed so that he became the father of many nations. He became what? What was that? That was the promise. That was the promise. That was the obtaining of the promise. God said, I'm making you. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I've made you the father of many nations. And the Bible says he became that. He became the father of many nations. According to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. But notice how he became that. It says in the first part of the verse, who, contrary to hope, in hope believed so that he became. So he hoped, he believed, and he became. Do you see that?
Amen.
That's the pattern that we're to follow. We're to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Well, here's what Abraham did. He hoped. If you have a question, I'll answer it at the end of the message. He hoped, and he believed, and then he became. Amen?
Amen?
He hoped, then he believed, then he became. Hope is very important. The Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope is like the blueprint. Hope is like the framework, but faith gives substance to it. Amen?
Amen.
So Abraham hoped. In the natural, there was no, all natural hope was gone, but he still had a reason to hope. Why did he have a reason to hope even though all natural hope was gone? Yes, because he had a promise.
Amen.
He had a promise. Do you have a promise?
I do.
If you've got a promise, then you can have hope.
Amen.
And if you can have hope, then you've got something that faith can give substance to then. And then you can become what that promise says you can be or have or do. Amen? Praise God. So he added believing to that hope, and he became. So he hoped, he believed, and he became. In other words, he inherited or he obtained the promise. Amen. All right. So let's look back up at verse 17 now. It says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. And so this is point number five, is we must call those things that are not or that do not exist as though they did. We have to do that. You say, well, that verse says God did that. Well, God did it, but Abraham started doing it as well. Amen? So Abraham's imitating God. Abraham is following God. Abraham is agreeing with God. And this is what we need to do as well. So how does God operate? He operates by faith. Amen? The Bible says by faith the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Remember in the beginning, the book of Genesis? The Bible says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void and what? Darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Bible says, and God said, woo-wee, it sure is dark out here. Man, it's so dark you can, look at this, Jesus. It's so dark you can cut it, you know. It's so thick, the darkness is so thick you can cut it with a knife. It is dark. Man, it's dark. No, God didn't call what he called it like he saw it. Somebody said, well, I, Pastor, just call it like I see it. Then that's all you'll ever have. All you'll ever have is what you see if you just keep calling it like you see it. Amen? But God didn't call it like he saw it. He saw it. He looked out and it was dark. And he didn't say, whoa, it's dark. He said, light be. Let there be light. And guess what? There was light. He said it. He spoke it. Amen. He called. Was there light when God said it? No, before God said it, was there light? No, there was no light. There was light. Light be not in that moment. But God called light. God said, let there be light. And there was light. Amen. So God called it and it became. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, let there be light. And there was light. And it's just like us. You know, well, I don't know. You know, I don't see how that works. Calling those things that are not as though they were. Well, you do that. I do that all the time with my dog. Yeah, with Coco. When Coco, you know, is out in the yard and it's time for Coco to come in. You know, I don't go. You know, I don't open the door and stand out on the deck and say, "Dog gone." I say, "What do I say? What do you say?" Here, Coco, right? Here, Coco. Is Coco here? No, Coco's out in the yard. Where do I want Coco to be, though? I want Coco to be here, so what do I say? I say, here, Coco. Guess what? Here she comes. Coco comes running in. And that's spiritually, that's what we do. It's healing. You know, if you need healing in your body, so, well, I'm not going to say I'm healed when I've got sickness in my body. I'd be lying. No, you wouldn't. You'd be calling those things that are not as though they were. Now, there's a difference between calling the things that are as though they're not. You don't do that. You say, well, I'd be lying. No, if you deny that you're sick, you say, no, I'm not sick. That's not the same. We're not telling you to say you're not sick. If you're sick or if you're in pain, we're not saying, you know, don't say you're sick. You know, don't say I'm not sick. We're not telling anybody to say I'm not sick. All right, but we are telling you to say I am healed. Well, how can I say I am healed? Because you've accepted. Remember back in point one, you accepted the word of God as your found authority. And the word of God says, with his stripes, you were healed.
Amen.
You were healed. Amen. The Bible says that in Galatians, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And that curse, if you go back and read Deuteronomy, includes every sickness and every disease. That's under the curse. Amen. So when I say, by Jesus' stripes, I am healed, if there's pain in my body or sickness or disease in my body, and I say I am healed, I'm not lying. I'm calling those things that are not as though they were, because I've got a promise.
Amen.
I've got a promise.
Amen.
And it's by faith that I obtain that promise. It's by faith, and that's the release of my faith. As I'm doing that, I'm releasing my faith. And that's the way I'm reaching in with faith into the where that promise is, and I'm bringing it into my life. Amen. I'm agreeing with God.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Praise God. All right. So we have to do that. We have to call those things that are not as though they were. Now, again, so God said, let there be light, and there was light. Concerning Abraham, notice what it says. He said, I have made you. He comes up to Abraham, who at the time is still called Abram, and at the time is still childless. And he says, I have, past tense, I have made you a father of many nations. So where did he say that? He said that in Genesis 17:5. Let's look at it. God appears to him and God says, no longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, which means father of a multitude. For I have made you a father of many nations. I have made you a father of many nations. Well, was Abraham the father of many nations in the natural? Had it come to pass? No. What's God doing? God is calling those things that are not as though they were. He's calling those things that do not exist as though they did. I have made you a father of many nations. He didn't say, I'm going to. This is where we miss it in faith a lot of times. Well, I believe God's going to heal me one day. God didn't say, one day I will make you the father of many nations. He said, I have. I have. The Bible doesn't say, with his stripes you will be healed. It says, with his stripes you were healed. You were healed. Amen? He said, I have made you a father of many nations, and no longer will your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. And from that moment forward, God, every time God would think of him or look at him or address him, he would say, Abraham. Every time he was saying, you're the father of many nations. You're the father of many nations. Well, Abraham, from that point, as far as we know from Scripture, Abraham agreed with God from that point forward. And every time he would introduce himself to others, he would say, hello, my name is Abraham. Abraham. He didn't say, my name's Abram, but it's kind of embarrassing. God, yeah, I know you may not believe that he spoke to me, but he did. And he says that I'm supposed to be father of many nations, and he wants me to be called Abraham. I'm not right now. I'm still, I don't have any kids. You know, he says we're going to one day. You know, you're going to call me Abram, that's fine. But no, he totally bought in. He totally bought into this thing, and he began calling himself Abraham. I am Abraham. I am Abraham. I am the father of a multitude. It's the same as you saying, I am healed. I am healed. I am healed. I am redeemed from the curse of the law. I am delivered. Hallelujah. Amen? Glory to God. Amen. And so he did that. Well, again, you know, if you just call it like you see it, then things will never change in your life. They'll never change. Abram began calling himself Abraham. What was he doing? He was agreeing with God. He was doing what God did, calling those things that are not as though they are. And that's what we have to do. If we're going to follow the faith of Abraham, and if we're going to obtain promises, we have to do the same thing. Amen? And then finally, the last thing that we see also here in the book of Romans is this, and I'll end up with this tonight. Romans chapter 10. And verse 8, we'll read verses 8 through 10. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. Where is it?
In your mouth and in your heart.
In your mouth and in your heart. What word is he talking about? He says, that is the word of faith. The word of faith which we preach. Where's the word of faith at?
In your heart.
Yep. What does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. What word, Paul? That is the word of faith which we preach. The Apostle Paul was a word of faith preacher.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Glory to God. I'm sure he was at Kenneth Copeland's ministers conference a couple of weeks ago. I'm sure he would have been. Amen.
Amen.
He's a word of faith preacher all the way. He admitted to it right here. The word of faith which we preach. Verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes. What do we believe with?
Heart.
The heart. What are we talking about? We're talking about faith. Faith and believe, that's the same thing. It's interchangeable. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So this tells us that faith has to be in two places in our life. It has to be in our mouth, and it has to be in our heart. Amen.
Amen.
In our mouth and in our heart. Amen. What we're saying must line up with what we're believing. Otherwise, the Bible says what we're doing, according to the book of James, is we're deceiving our own heart. If what we're saying is not in agreement with what we're believing, then we're deceiving our own heart. If you're believing for healing, but then you're saying something contrary to that, or if the circumstances have come against you and you get discouraged and you start speaking negatively, you start speaking, oh, well, it's never going to happen. It's never going to come to pass. And I'm never going to walk in health. I'm never going to be free from this. I'm never going to prosper. If you start talking like that, but your heart is supposed to be believing that you're free, that you're healed, that you're delivered, whatever, then your heart begins to hear your mouth say contrary to that, and your heart becomes confused and deceived. So, wait a minute, I thought we were supposed to be believing for victory and healing. Amen? Don't confuse your heart. Don't deceive your own heart that way. Amen?
Amen.
Speak in agreement with what you're believing. Amen. So faith has to be in two places. It has to be in our mouth, and it has to be in our heart. Look at this. Again, verse 10, he says, with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Well, that same principle of faith works the same in any area. He's talking here about the new birth. He's talking about being born again, about receiving the new birth or receiving salvation. But it would apply with healing. It would apply with any promise. With the heart, one believes unto that promise. And with the mouth, confession is made unto that promise, unto the obtaining of that promise. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. We believe with the heart. We confess with the mouth. And that's how, through faith, that we obtain promises. Amen?
Amen.
What promises of God do you want to obtain? Think about that. Think about the promise. Say, well, I don't know what the promises are that cover my situation. Well, get in the Word and find them. You know, we have so many good, you know, search tools now on the internet, and you know, I used to pull out the Strong's Concordance. And the reason they call it Strong's Concordance is because handling that thing, you'll get strong. There used to be three types of concordances, or three. Fred, you may remember this. There was the Cruden's. Did you ever have a Cruden's Concordance? Fred had a Cruden's Concordance, and then there was the Young's Concordance. Dr. Young had put together a concordance, and there was the Strong's. And so people would say, Cruden's for the crude, Young's for the young, Strong's for the strong. So I made sure I went ahead and got me a Strong's Concordance right away, because I didn't want to be crude. And I didn't want to be young. I wanted to be strong. Amen. And I lugged that thing around, and I got strong. Amen. But now, you don't have to have that. You got stuff on your phone. You got stuff on your computer and all. You can look. Find those promises. There's a promise that covers your situation. There's a promise that covers, oh, thank God. And besides that, you got the Holy Spirit to help you.
Amen.
Oh, man. I don't know. I could talk for another hour and give you examples and tell you accounts of how the Holy Spirit has led me to scriptures and led me to promises. There are times where I've said this. I didn't find those promises. They found me. You know, but those scriptures just come alive to you, and the Holy Spirit leads you, reminds you, quicken you, or just cause you to come across a promise that you could lay hold of and that you could hold on to. Amen?
Amen.
He will. So find that promise. And determine that you're going to obtain that promise through faith. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God.